Pittsburgh, I love ya. This is Brian Edward, and you're listening to Berg Vivant, Pittsburgh's cultural talk magazine, delivered digitally, straight up, shaken, and stirred. Tonight's broadcast brought to you by our spectacular sponsors and strategic partners, Zafalo's Banquet and Event Center, Carnegie, Pennsylvania, one of the most beautiful and unique venues in the greater Pittsburgh area for weddings, corporate dinners, fundraisers, and more. Visit clubzafalo.com. Off the Wall Theater, enlivening, educating, and entertaining audiences in the Pittsburgh region. View their current season at insideoffthewall.com. Arcade Comedy Theater, hosting local and national comedians, sketch comedy, improv, and more. 811 Liberty Avenue, downtown. Be sure to like them on Facebook or find them at arcadecomedytheater.com. Berg Vivant is a proud supporter of Firefly Arts, creating opportunities and support for families living with autism through innovative arts programming. You can learn more and show your support at fireflyarts.org. Sharon Clay, winemaker, owner, Christian W. Clay Winery. I am so glad to be visiting with you today. How are you?
I'm great. The only thing is you're a couple months late because we're done picking.
Oh, that's when you needed some help. Yeah,
that's right. Where were you in September?
I was down in Pittsburgh, you know, but I wanted to get out of the city this weekend. You know, the holidays are coming up. I thought it'd be a great time to come up and visit you, talk about wine, which, mm-hmm. you know, everybody enjoys, but talk about your winery, too, and a little bit about the process for some that might not you know, necessarily know everything that goes into making wine. So here you are nestled in the Laurel Highlands, beautiful, beautiful part of Pennsylvania, just about an hour and 20 minutes south of Pittsburgh, just about. How did Christian W. Clay Winery begin?
Actually, my husband was curious about what kind of grapes would grow in southwestern Pennsylvania in a mountain area. So I figured I'll go along with it. We looked at farms. And said, okay, whatever. Meanwhile, I fell in love with this barn. It's an 1880s barn with a ceramic tile, and it's near Touchstone. And being that I'm a painter, that appealed to me. So I was thinking 10 acres was a farm. We ended up with 215. But that was the selling point, was the barn. But, I mean, actually, the way it started was he was just curious what grapes would grow in a cool climate. So for 10 years, he read about different types of grapes. And when we left Manhattan, it became sort of like Green Acres, in that I worked on Fifth Avenue.
You were the Zsa, or Eva Gabor, right?
Yes. And I bought my painting supplies with me, and lo and behold, I ended up here. So he quietly ordered the first 1,000 grapes, and I thought, I'll humor them. They'll die. And then I'll go to painting. But lo and behold, they didn't die, because he actually had looked at this property and picked it because of its elevated site. Mm. And if you get high enough above the frost, you actually can compensate for the fact that we don't have a big water mass, you know, for temperature control. But anyway, long story short, we moved here not even having a lawnmower, let alone tractors. And we planted the first 100 vines, and they didn't die. But I found out very quickly in that first year, it's a lot of work. Mm-hmm. And it takes a lot of commitment. So what I decided was, if I'm going to work this hard, I'm going to make it worthwhile. So I ordered 14,000 more grapevines and started doing murder mystery dinner theater and weddings right away. Yeah. After living virtually at Central Park, I realized this was like heaven.
Oh, yeah.
215 acres of a beautiful green land where you can see in three states.
Right, from I think one of the highest hills on the property here, you can see three states at once, Pennsylvania, Maryland, and West Virginia.
Mm-hmm. Right? It's the elevation's 2,300 feet.
Wow. Yeah. And it's good for grape growing, then.
It's perfect.
Because, you know, that's one of the questions that I have is, you know, growing grapes right here in a Pennsylvania climate as opposed to, you know, the what we think of as, you know, the grape growing regions like Napa and New Zealand and France and things like that. Is it just a different type of grape, or are there just different growing challenges?
It's both.
Yeah.
Because we do have vinifera grapes, which you usually see in California and Europe. And those would be like the Cabernet Sauvignon, Cabernet Franc, Chardonnay. But the trick to it is you need to do something to compensate for not having that hot, long season.
Mm-hmm.
So what we do is the way we planted them is different. We make sure that we till between the rows so that we get all the heat into the ground and use the rocks to hold the heat. And the heat radiates up at night, whereas in California, they would put grassy centers to try to cool it down. We leave two or three trunks instead of one trunk. We drop any excess throughout the summer so that what we end up with is a chance to compensate for those two or three weeks which would let us ripen to where they could in California. In fact, I don't know if it's a global warming or not, but we have found that we actually are getting fantastic reds.
Oh, wow.
And we're getting up to 25 degrees Brix, which is very unusual. Here in the East, you're usually happy if you get 18 degrees. And Brix are the measurement of sugar or the solids in the grape. And that's what lets you get your alcohol level up.
We like that.
So it's trying to stuff a whole big story in a nutshell, but it can be done, but it takes a lot more work. It's a lot more hands-on, and it's all year long, you know, versus California, where they can go through the summer and really not have as much activity as we do.
Now, harvest is a big, big project, I imagine, with all the vines that you have here. But do you have fun with it? You take volunteers to come in and harvest, and then everybody has a big party at the end. Is that right?
We love volunteers.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
The thing is, you can come here and pick for 4 hours, and you could be anywhere in the world. When you get up there and you hear the wind whistle through the vines and the wires in the trellis, you get swept away. You could be anywhere. And people it puts them in touch with the earth in a way that you can't get, you know, sitting in the city. Because if you follow the process, and usually they will come back and look, you start with a stick that looks like it's dead. And then in the spring, there's a little hope, you know, the little buds start to expand. And then by July, it's an absolute jungle.
Mm.
And then by August, they start changing, or they call that veraison, when the grapes ripen. And then harvest time is what you wait for all year. So it's a great time of excitement, and people really get caught up in the fun of it.
Yeah, I've heard about it. I need to. Do you think I can wear my tuxedo out there and be plucking a little
grape? Absolutely.
As somebody who appreciates wine, I think it'd be nice to appreciate it from, you know, the ground up, so to speak.
From the vine to the bottle.
You got it.
Because that is what is unique about Christian Clay Winery, is we are the total wine experience in that we grow it, we process it, and we sell it and have events. So you get to follow the whole thing through.
So after the harvest, you know, what is then the process to say, well, I think I'm going to make a wine that's dry, or make a wine that's sweet? You know, is there like a recipe approach to that?
It's more of an artistic and traditional issue.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's certain wines that you always are going to do dry.
Mm-hmm.
And dryness just means that all the sugar has been fermented out. There are no wet wines. But a sweeter wine, you're going to allow there to be some residual sugar.
Mm.
And traditionally, there are certain things. Like, for instance, a Riesling, truly, you can do it dry, you can do it semi-dry, and you can do it semi-sweet.
Mm.
That's why that's one of the ones I enjoy. Because, you know, for instance, the...
This one?
No, the blue bottle.
The blue. We have White Swan Tavern.
If you like a semi-sweet Riesling, this is perfect because you have the real full mouth of fruit.
Mm-hmm. Can it just pour? Does it
have
to come out?
It has to be open. Okay. That always works better.
Okay, so just...
No, you put it back in.
Okay.
These are wonderful little things. They're called tip-tops. And you can twist them down, and you can lay them down in your refrigerator.
But that's open.
Mm-hmm.
May I pour?
Please do.
This is for you. And we'll It's a nice little tasting pour, I think.
Mm-hmm. By the way, this is the perfect tasting glass because the shape is tulip. And the idea is that when you swirl it, the molecules get excited, but they tend to stay in the glass, whereas a straight-sided glass, they go up and out.
I'm getting excited. It's just smelly. I know how it is.
Well, and you do want to smell first, and then you just give it a swirl like that. Be careful. Don't do it with a full glass, or your neighbor might get a little testy. It happens.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And then you smell it, and then you taste it. Mm. And the reason is that if you want to know the true character of a wine, you really need to let it open up like that.
Mm-hmm.
Especially anything that tends to be a floral or reds, you want to do that.
Yeah.
Which reminds me, too, whites need to be chilled, but don't chill them to the point that you can't pick up any nuances.
Mm.
So, I mean, even with a white wine, you don't want to get below 55.
Okay. I'll give it a little taste here.
Mm-hmm.
That's very tasty. Very nice.
This is
sweet, but not too sweet.
Mm-hmm. Right, and that's another thing. Mm. There has to be a balance for wine to have good structure. There has to be a balance between the sweetness and the acidity.
Mm-hmm.
And if something doesn't have a backbone or enough acidity, it gets flabby and it's not really a good companion to food.
White Swan Tavern, I'm going to keep that in mind. And we have the whole list here. You've got quite a variety. Reds, whites, sweet wines, even sparkling,
A few sparkling.
Which is really great, especially with New Year's Eve coming up. This one here, I see that it's wearing some jewelry there.
Yes, it is.
I think that's probably there's a good story behind that.
Well, this was an idea that I had. I was sitting in the house one winter looking up the hillside there, and I kept looking at it and thinking, it needs something. I want another crop, but I don't want something, where I have to get all new equipment. I want something else. And I thought and thought. And all of a sudden, I thought, lavender. I love lavender.
Mm-hmm.
It's so aromatic. You can cook with it. Culinary lavender versus craft lavender is especially exciting to cook with. I've worked a lot with Chef Jeremy at the Stone House because we do a lavender festival in June.
Mm-hmm.
And he comes over and he takes care of the cooking end. And he's paired it even with fish dishes, of course, with fruit or scones. It's wonderful with lamb. Just like rosemary, is an interesting but strong aromatic spice. Same way with the lavender. You have to be careful not to overdo it. It's
an
eye pillow. Same thing with the wine. So I had making a wine in the back of my mind anyway.
With lavender?
Yeah.
Wow.
And that was the first thing I did with it. And it took a double gold medal and a silver and a bronze. And the thing that's interesting about it is that people go, oh, lavender, and they're thinking, little old ladies and little old ladies in lace, something like that, or an eye pillow. And they're always pleasantly surprised because it cleanses the palate, it's fresh, it's bubbly, and it's just a delightful accent. Where did you get rid of yours?
I drank it. Oh, yeah.
Well, we have to taste this because you'll be pleasantly surprised.
I am really interested to do this.
And then it just screamed for a lavender bag like this.
Oh,
it's the only one that has its bag, but
all right, let's.
And it's the only sparkling lavender wine on the East Coast, I'm positive.
Now, did you want to finish
it? I'll finish
that?
It. I'll just.
I've never heard of a lavender wine or a sparkling.
Well, they do lavender out in Oregon and Washington. That's where most of the lavender farms are.
Mm-hmm.
But I thought,
ooh, it has a really interesting aroma. I'd smell the lavender.
Mm-hmm. I thought I would be able to do it here because basically lavender likes the same kind of soil and climate as the grapes do.
Wow. That's like this alone would make a very nice dessert, just a glass of this.
Yes. But it also pairs wonderfully with a nice light dessert.
That's very different, very interesting.
Yeah, you want to make sure this one is served really chilled.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you open this bottle, if it's not really chilled, you will be wearing it instead of drinking it. So,
well, it should smell nice, yeah.
Yes, but with any sparkling wine, you want to make sure that you chill it more than you would chill anything else.
Mm-hmm.
So that one is one of my favorites.
Mm-hmm.
Probably because it's unique, and as an artist, I'm a watercolorist. I love looking at it,
mm-hmm.
and I love lavender.
And just like the grapes that are in the wine, the lavender comes from right here, right at
mm-hmm.
Right on the winery.
Well, that's a big thing for us, is that we are involved in the buy local movement. Even when we work with restaurants, we try to work with restaurants who use local farmers mm-hmm. and produce, because we believe strongly that we should keep our economy in our communities. And it really is beginning to work. I mean,
good.
It's spreading in Pittsburgh, it's spreading nationally.
Mm-hmm.
So the lavender is grown here, as are most of the grapes. Now this mm-hmm. one.
Good to the last drop.
Mm. It also makes it a beautiful toast, like for a wedding.
Oh, yes.
I like to say that the sparkling wines really don't need to be saved for an occasion, because they are an occasion.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of people think, oh, you only drink a sparkling wine like for a special occasion. But I know people who drink some of our other sparkling wines fairly routinely, like in the hot tub, or and they are their own occasion.
Well, I'll have to try that when I get back home.
In particular.
Right. So, yeah, any of these wines would go well with hot tub. I think
yes.
That's what I see on the list there.
In moderation.
Yes, in moderation. But, you know, we've got New Year's Eve coming up,
uh-huh.
so it's a great toasting wine for midnight on December 31st. Let's look at a red, shall we, to kind of change things up.
Okay, before we do that, though. We must mention Cranberry Crinkle.
Oh, that's another sparkling.
It's a sparkling cranberry, and we only have it in November and December for the holidays. Summit Mist is more of a grapey. The grape is Fredonia,
mm-hmm.
and that one's kind of our year-round one. And the thing that's fun about Summit Mist, just as party ideas, because you can do this with any of the sparkling wines, if you fill your glass up only about 2/3 and you put a little scoop of vanilla ice cream, preferably Häagen-Dazs, and you give it a stir, as it melts, it becomes like berries and cream.
Mm.
So it's really good. And then we have 12 Springs Peach.
And these are all sparkling wines.
Yes, and 12 Springs Peach is an all peach wine. Mm. And there's one more. The Vidal is a semi-dry, so if you tend to like a drier wine and a sparkling wine, we have that too.
And
we have five.
I'm noticing that all of your wines are named after historical places up here mm-hmm. in the Laurel Highlands. Well, most of them are anyway. For example, Jumonville Glen, the Washington Tavern Red, Stonehouse Red. So this is really giving a nod to what's surrounding
mm-hmm.
The winery here. I think that's really neat.
Well, when we moved here from Manhattan, I was really taken with the history.
Mm-hmm.
And it just seemed like it wasn't getting all the attention it should. And I thought, well, I wasn't planning on being in state stores. You know, I wasn't going to compete for that market. Mm. What I wanted was something that reflected the terroir or the flavor of the area.
Mm.
So I tied it to the historic names, because to me, that's what the wine should be. That's why, as a winemaker, I think you should be working with the vineyard manager and trying to extract the flavor
mm-hmm.
that is natural to that soil,
yeah.
because that's what makes the wine. And the soil here actually is perfect in that it has high limestone. It's got a lot of rocky shale that we brought up to the surface.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a really good, in spite of what people think,
mm-hmm.
you know, like, oh, wine from Pennsylvania, and all they think of is Ford,
yeah, there's a lot
Niagara,
of that up in Erie, yeah.
Because that's how it started, because they were growing it for Welsh's.
Mm.
But over the past 15 years, the wineries have jumped from, well, let's see, in the 80s, there were maybe 69. Now there's 170.
Wow.
So there's a lot more growing activity of actual wine grapes.
Now, Pennsylvania's got some wacky old laws governing alcohol. Does any of that get in your way?
Actually, it's become a lot more flexible.
Yep.
We've gone from just 5 permits a year to go out and do festivals to 100.
Oh, good.
So, you know, that helps. We're allowed Sunday sales. The whole point of the Pennsylvania Farm Winery Act, the Limited Winery Act, was to help promote agriculture, because agriculture is number one and tourism number two.
Mm-hmm.
And we represent the whole thing, because we are agritourism.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we grow it, we make it, and we sell it. So we're the perfect model of agritourism. Plus, we tie in hay rides, bonfires. Like, we're going to go out after this, and we're going to toast a giant marshmallow on that little bonfire out there. But the thing is to have the whole experience. You can get the bottle of wine in the state store, you know, and that's fine. But if you really want to experience it, you go to a winery. Because the wineries are interesting. In contrast to California, where, you know, everybody trained maybe at UC Davis, you'll find that the winemakers and winery owners here in the East come from incredibly varied backgrounds. You know, like, I was a dental hygienist, wanted to be an artist,
and you
became a winemaker.
Growing grapes,
right. And there are chemists and doctors and lawyers and truck drivers that just became captivated with it and started a winery. So it's a very interesting thing to tour the wineries. They all have very distinct personalities.
And yeah, we can certainly visit the winery itself here. And then there's a shop that's out on Route 40. Of course, you should come and see how beautiful this is. But, you know, if you're on the go and, you know, speeding by, you can stop at Route 40. And I think there's a couple of places in Pittsburgh that carry Christian clay wine.
Yeah, at the Freitas shops at Station Square at the Pennsylvania Wine Cellar. Then we're also at Sarnelli's up by Seven Springs. And we're just opening our fifth one at Big Barn in Perryopolis on Route 51.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, during the holidays, we're next to Santa down at the Uniontown Mall.
I'm sure Santa appreciates that.
Santa probably would like to come over at the end of every session.
Santa sips. Yeah, there
you go. Oh, all the screaming children and barking dogs.
See, the wine is good for all of that. You know,
it's
hot tubs, all of that together. So yeah, let's. We wanted to try a red, I think, is...
yes.
Let's take a look. We
Jumonville
have
Glen Red.
Jumonville Glen Red. And I think... Let's see if I got this right. There we go. I learned.
Perfect.
About that. And
Jumonville Glen Red is one of our dry reds. We do another one called Norton, which is a southern grape that doesn't usually ripen this far north, but it happens to like our vineyard. Now, this one is a Cabernet Franc and St. Croix blend, and it is totally dry.
It is, yeah.
So this is really good with a nice marbled meat or a bold cheese.
Yes.
You know, it has to be something bold, which is true when you're pairing any of your foods with a wine. You want to try to match the mouth weight of the wine with the mouth weight of the meal. So if you've got something with a big, heavy sauce, you need a bold wine.
Smoky, a little bit. I like that.
And the smokiness actually is reflective of the soil.
Well, really?
That's one of the things that you can pick up, you know, from where you've grown it. And then there's a touch of oak to it, which gives it the vanillins.
I like this. And it's light-bodied.
Yes.
For a red that dry, it has a nice, crisp body to it.
Yeah. Now, the thing about West Coast reds versus East Coast reds is that because they have a longer, hotter season, the West Coast reds get bigger tannins.
Yes.
The tannins are in the skin and in the seeds. Tannins are good in that you can lay that bottle down for years. But by the same token, you have to, because wine's a living thing, and in the bottle, it's constantly changing. So once you bottle it, you have to wait for the astringency to quiet down as the tannins quiet down. Since East Coast reds are not high in tannins. They're light to moderate. It's much more approachable at an early age. Mm. So you may not lay it down for 20 years, but you can approach it in 18 months versus 4 or 5 years.
Mm. Now, when you get invited to someone's home for dinner, are they ever like, oh, gee, I wonder what kind of wine Sharon's going to bring? Do you ever run into that?
Usually.
Yeah. Well, what is your personal favorite?
That's really hard because I wouldn't make something I didn't like. Mm-hmm. But probably the Blanc de Lafayette. Did we bring that ever?
Yes.
This is probably one of my favorite ones because it is made with a Muscat Antonelle, which is an Eastern European vinifera. Mm. And that's a good one to demonstrate putting it in your glass and taking a sniff, swirling and sniffing.
Don't mind if I do.
Okay. And this goes beautifully with anything with a light white or citrusy sauce, like an Alfredo. It's wonderful with lobster, like for our lobster clam bake.
Oh, yes.
That's something you must come for.
I've heard about them in the summertime. Yeah, we've got the whole calendar of events here, and we can find this online on your website.
Yes, we finally got this out. Yeah, it'll be online soon. But we have our murder mystery dinner theaters. Mm. That start with a wine tasting, a buffet dinner, interactive murder mystery, the lobster clam bakes, the lavender festival. We're going to do a couple of Latin-themed things this year, which are going to be great fun.
Chicka-boom.
Yes.
We'll have to check that out. Yeah, there's always something happening here.
Uh-huh. And then we have our music series on Sunday afternoons. Of course, the other part of the Latin events, as I was mentioning to you, my sister's reopening Chez Girard. It used to be Chez Girard. It'll now be Dr. McCarthy's Kitchen. But she makes some fantastic international dishes. And I'm trying to, adobo is Filipino. The list is so long. But anyway, she will be doing the tapas and things for the Latino dinners.
Very good.
And we'll have music.
Oh, yes.
Real toe tapping.
Another thing that wine goes well with is music, yes.
People, music, food.
Yeah. It all happens here.
Snow.
Yeah, yeah. And you're open year-round?
Yes, we are. Mm-hmm. All the stores are open year-round, but our events go basically from May to end of October. Mm-hmm. But see, the first Saturday of December every year, we do a huge open house, and we do the food for it, and we've got a big 20-foot tree upstairs.
Wow.
Growing up in New England, I love Christmas, and I remember standing in the snow 3 hours to wait to see Santa in Santa's village, but it was such a rich memory that I wanted to create something like that for the kids here, because the mall Santa's okay, but it's a little intimidating.
Yeah.
And we have Mr. and Mrs. Claus.
Especially for Santa when
not.
Here comes a 33-year-old man sitting on your lap. Yeah, I understand. Yeah.
Oh, our Santa. This Santa's cool. Mrs. Claus and Santa Claus don't scare anybody. In contrast to, you bring a little kid and they take one look at Santa with all the lights and stuff at the mall.
Yeah.
It's scary.
Yeah.
It's absolutely scary.
But not here. Here it's always fun.
It's warm and fuzzy.
You're right. And for example, like you said, after this, we're going to go out and toast a marshmallow.
That's
this is
right.
Wonderful. I may never leave.
Don't.
is what might happen. And if I do, I'm taking some of that sparkling lavender with me, for sure, for sure. So yeah, we encourage everybody to come on up and see what's going on here. There's something for everybody. Check out the winery. Again, the grounds are beautiful. The wine is delicious. And
it's a unique... it's more than an experience, and it's a way of life. But, for instance, we have 19 weddings booked already for next year, because you can go anywhere and sit inside four walls, but here you can take a hayride up to the top of the ridge and look out at the three states. You can put a tent up there in the middle of the vineyard. It's just magical.
Yes. Well, cheers to the magic of wine, and happy holidays.
Same to you.
In closing, we would like to once again thank our spectacular sponsors and strategic partners, Off the Wall Theater, Cefalo's Banquet and Events Center, Carnegie, Pennsylvania, Arcade Comedy Theater, Downtown, and BergVivant is a proud supporter of Firefly Arts, creating opportunities and support for families living with autism through innovative arts programming. Find out more and show your support at fireflyarts.org. And be sure to follow Pittsburgh's Cultural Talk magazine online. You can find BergVivant, the It in Pittsburgh, on Facebook, Twitter, or subscribe for free at www.bergvivant.com. This is Brian Edwards saying cheers and good night.